and welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, bringing you Locked On Kings this week. As you know, it switches off between me and co-host Matt George every week. This is my week. Spent yesterday talking about the player options for some of the players on this team going into next year. We talked about VC, Vince Carter, Amon Shumper, Costa Kufis, Garrett Temple, Willie Cauley-Stein. I think we threw Zebo in there. Going to talk about some more of the roster just moving forward. I think most of the roster moving forward is pretty safe. I know they're all under contract, obviously, but just their future. Going to talk about some free agency also. I got some questions on Twitter I want to get to as well. We also have some former Kings player news that I know some Kings fans will be interested in, others not so much. I'm Charles T. Hamilton, as I mentioned. I'm a host at KHTK. I also work on all the Kings broadcasts, radio broadcasts. So this is my wheelhouse, man. I'm ready to bring it to you. So let's get to it. I wanted to start off with yesterday's conversation. We definitely mentioned the players that have player options, and I expect them all to exercise those options because I think it's a good amount of money that they will all want to collect, and I don't think they have much of a chance getting it anywhere else. Just to recap, that's Costa Kufis is on the hook for about 8.7. Garrett Temple, I think, is on the hook for 8. Shumpert, 11. These are all in millions, by the way. So I would imagine those three to be back, no question. You just don't give up that kind of money. Talked about Vince Carter, and just if Vince Carter could come back for $8 million again, would you want that? Would Kings fans want that? I'm not so sure. Everyone loves Vince. I do. I'm part of the group that loves him. I've mentioned it before. He is one of the most beloved NBA basketball players of all time, and it's a code I want to crack. I want to figure out why. But he just sure enough is. Everyone loves him. I haven't found anyone that doesn't like Vince Carter. So that was my question. $8 million to get Vince Carter, another season of Vince Carter, would Kings fans want that? It just depends on how you feel about the money. Do you think you'll have the money to spend elsewhere, or are you fine giving that money to Vince to come back and be a mentor again and, you know, play limited minutes? So hit me up on Twitter, at CTH415. Let me know what you think, or any ideas for shows. Like I said, this Locked On Kings is for you guys. So anything you guys want to talk about, anything you want answered, hit me up, let me know, at CTH415. We're actually going to get some Twitter questions a little later. Zebo, I mentioned just because he's on the hook for $12 million again. And as much as people like him, he's a great personality to have around. I think he's been good in the locker room. It's so funny. I remember his scandal before the season started where he got caught with some marijuana down in L.A., I believe. There was a mixed reaction of, well, we have to cut him. I mean, he's a troublemaker. I don't want him around this team and blah, blah, blah. And now he is a bona fide fan favorite. It's just funny how things go, man. But he's on the hook for $12 million, and I don't think he'll be able to trade that contract, honestly, without bringing back another poor contract. Another bad contract. So I think he's around for one more year at least, unless they can come to an agreement on a buyout, which wouldn't happen before the season. It would happen probably closer to the buyout deadline next year. So I don't want to say you're stuck with him because he has been productive at times, and maybe next year this team will have progressed enough that his production helps more, I guess. It helps win more games. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just kind of empty production right now just because the Kings, you know, they're on pace to win 24 games, tops. So that's part of it with him. I wanted to get to a couple other players. Bogey, we obviously know, isn't going anywhere. It would have to take some sort of crazy trade offer for him to go somewhere. Same with De'Aaron Fox. Buddy Hield. Buddy is a tough one. I like him. I think he should be part of the future, looked at as part of the future, even if his role is just six-man. If that's the case, I think he's a future sixth man of the year with his scoring. And I know that some people might roll their eyes or disagree, but sixth man of the year basically translates to who's the best scorer off the bench. They don't really take anything else into consideration. So I think he could be that. I just think in a league where three-point shooting is as important as it is now in 2018, you don't get rid of someone like that. But, you know, this front office has made some moves that we don't really understand before. Maybe they find a trade that they like to get rid of him, but I don't know. I'm also just completely speculating because they've also been weird with his playing time and like all year, really. They've been weird with his playing time. I don't know why there are games where he can't crack 20 minutes, where I think he should be up around 28, 30 minutes a game. But that's just me. I'm not a coach, so what do I know? But that's where I'm at with Buddy. Justin Jackson, obviously, is sticking around. All the young guys pretty much are here for good. Scal, Frank Mason, Jakar. Jakar is one I want to get to. If you've listened to this podcast before, you know I'm a fan of Jakar Sampson. And I get some backlash for it because people might misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a star. He's going to be a future league MVP, but he's a role player, and you need role players on teams, especially his kind of role player, where he brings energy, he defends, he rebounds, he can play this kind of new era small ball five, where he shoots the three well enough, not great, but you still have to respect it. I like what he brings to the table, and he still hasn't been signed to a full year contract or a full team contract because he's a two-way player, but I imagine once his 45 days on the two-way contract is up, they will sign him to a full contract and probably a future contract for next year also. But I'm a fan of his and his game, and I think he fits today's NBA very well. So that's pretty much the entire roster. It really just breaks down into veterans and player options on one side and young guys on the other, and that's about it. Jack Cooley. I'll throw Jack Cooley in there. I did not mention him. Doubt he's with the team next year. Summer League legend Jack Cooley. But that is the roster. It needs some work. It needs some work. I think everyone knows that. But there's reason to be excited about the young players on this team. Going to answer some Twitter questions now. As I said, hit me up on Twitter at CTH415 anytime you want. Any topics, any questions. Like I said, this podcast is for you guys. So anything you want answered, anything you want to talk about, Kings related, let me know and we will definitely get to it. This first one is from Steve Svensson. And I'm probably butchering it. I'll probably butcher everyone's name. So sorry, but it's just how it is. At Svensson19. He says he's fine with the Willie Cauley-Stein extension. Doesn't think he's shown a level of consistency that makes him sure he's a starter long term. And he kind of agrees with me that he's a solid player, but he kind of thinks he's better than he is. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but he definitely wants to be a offensive centerpiece instead of a defensive role player, which is kind of where I think he's at. I've put him at the Capella level, I guess, where, Clint Capella, if you put him on the Kings, he's probably not. It's probably kind of a similar production to Willie Cauley-Stein. You might get more effort defensively and on the boards consistently, but I just, let's say you can get him for 4 years, $40 million. You're paying him $10 million a year. Would you want that? I'm not sure if I would, especially with the draft coming up that is heavy, heavy in the front court, especially at the top of the draft. It's just a lot of front court players, a lot of centers and guys you might even try and slip into power forward, but a bunch of, 6'10", 6'11", 7-footers. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, obviously, he's contractually on the team next year, but let's say they're picking top five and end up getting another big man. You might move on from Willie because I also think you can kind of get the same level of production or at least different, same level of impact. I'll put it that way. You might not get the same production, but you could probably get the same level of impact from a different player, from a different center that might cost less because the center market is declining and not by player quality, but by money. There's not a lot of money out there to spend, and there's not going to be a lot of teams out there spending it on traditional centers. And Willie Cauley-Stein, he definitely fits 2018 center, but you're still not going to break the bank for him. I like him, but just when it comes to paying him, it depends how much, and it depends what your other options are, honestly. You can do worse than Willie Cauley-Stein, for sure, but you might be able to do similar impact for less money. That's just where I'm at with that. I know that's kind of not heated subject, but people are definitely they're kind of two extremes when it comes to WCS. Some people really like them, some don't. We'll move on to the next one. Gabby Santiago Jr. Good sir. Oh man, we don't have to do all that. Appreciate that though. I'm not that good. No one calls me sir. Any chance you can talk about free agency options for the Kings, like Hazonia or a center like Yusuf Nurkic? Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we're going to do a ton of free agency over the next couple months because, I mean, the season ends in 30-something days, and we'll be moving on to the draft and free agency, which is really my favorite time of year. It's fun. It's fun for play to add new players to your team, to see players bounce around, and just optimism. There's optimism around every franchise when it comes to free agency and the draft. So he had mentioned specifically Yusuf Nurkic and Mario Hezonja. I'm torn on both of them. It depends how much it would cost to get either one. I think they're both kind of better names than players. Nurkic kind of falls into the Willie Cauley-Stein category. How much would it cost? And could you get similar impact from someone cheaper? And I think you might be able to. We also have to factor in Harry Giles. They're deep in the front court, especially at the five the Kings are, because I'd like to see Zebo play some five and less four and not so many two big lineups, but that's just me. I'm not a coach. What do I know? So as far as adding centers, I don't know. And if you're going to add a center, I would rather it not be a big contract at center. I'd rather it be, I don't know, I don't really have an example. Like, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein is probably the best example. And if you were going to hand out a big contract, Clint Capella is a restricted free agent. I would think about at least making him a big offer, forcing Houston's hand to have to pay him or move on. But like I said with Capella, I don't know if he, puts up the numbers on a Kings team that he does on a Rockets team. Probably not. He's probably similar to Willie Cauley-Stein if on the Kings. Hazonia is another one who hasn't really lived up to it, but I like the fact that you could get him for cheap, probably. That's one thing I was looking at with some potential free agents is, yeah, there's big money guys that the Kings would have to overpay, but how about some under-the-radar guys? And Hazonia might be that. He might be an under-the-radar guy that you can pay a small amount, and maybe he outplays his contract. But as far as him being on the top of the list, I don't think so. He was supposed to be a shooter. I think this is his best shooting year at 35%. He really hasn't lived up to it. The measurables and all that are enticing, but he just hasn't lived up to the hype when he was drafted in the top 10. I went over a couple other names that intrigue me, especially for the Kings. And as we've seen, they'll probably have to overpay to get these guys, but, they've done it before. I don't have many problems with it. The only problem I do have is that they've especially this last year, they got a lot of older players, which is fine. It works for the younger guys as mentors, as we like to say. But I'd rather try and find someone who can affect the game on the court more than mentor young guys. And one of those names is Will Barton, the small forward out of Denver, I believe. You know, he's not an all-star, but he puts up 15 a game, 27 years old. He's got good offensive game. He's average defender, but The three and the four are two positions that the Kings, I think, need to figure out, obviously. Not that they have many others figured out, but they at least have guys in place for the next couple of years that they're going to go with, like De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield. If you want to throw Justin Jackson in there, fine, but if you can get a 27-year-old Will Barton, I would gladly have him start over Justin Jackson until he can figure it out. At the four, I don't know, people want to throw Scal in there, maybe. He's had a rough year. And then at the five, Willie Cauley-Stein, you want to throw him in there, fine. Harry Giles. Or maybe even a draft pick this year, because like I said, it's front court heavy. There are other players, a lot of restricted free agents. Restricted free agency will be really interesting to me, and I think the Kings should be active in it because those are the young guys. That's how you're going to get young players. And one guy, I was talking to Jason Ross about it, actually. He asked me, would you throw the max at Aaron Gordon? And initially, I wasn't for it. But at the same time, after thinking about it, go ahead, throw the max at him. Why not? Force Orlando's hand. Because if you can throw the max at him, you get a great defender, a guy who's scoring 18 a game. He's shooting 35% from three. You get that power forward position locked up for the immediate future, for the next 5 years, however long that max contract is. I think it's 4 or 5 years. I would definitely do it. So that's one to keep an eye on. I don't know if any of that will happen, but that's something I would like to see them do. And then there's a lot of other names out there. I'll leave it at that for now because we're going to talk a ton of free agency over the next couple months. Thank you for the questions, as always. And like I said, hit me up on Twitter at CTH415. This podcast is for you guys. Anything you guys want to talk about, let me know, and we'll definitely get to it. But just to recap, I'm a no on Nurkic and Hezonja, depending on the money we'll see. Aaron Gordon, do it. Go for it. Throw money at him. Will Barton, too. Make it happen. Last piece of news I want to get to, and this will be a Kings hot topic, hot button issue, hot in the streets. Papagiannis, Georgios Papagiannis. I try and stay away from the first name because I know I get the last name correct. The first name, not so sure. But Papagiannis signed a 10-day contract with the Portland Trail Blazers. We'll see. We will see. I am not a believer. I know some Kings fans thought he didn't get a fair shake, which I disagree with. So here's another chance. And that's something I said when he got cut. If he was so great, how come no one picked him up? And here it is, 10-day contract with the Trailblazers. Let's see if he gets any time, if he can do anything with that time, or does he just spend 10 days with him and then they don't give him another 10-dayer? Because that happens a lot, too. So, you know, some Kings fans might be vindicated at the end of this, but I wouldn't bet on it. I would not bet on it. But good for him. And his second chance, and I hope it works out for him. This has been Locked On Kings. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Charles T. Hamilton, your host. We got Kings and Pelicans tonight. Man, we completely skipped over that. Anthony Davis, not sure if he's playing tonight. We will see. If he doesn't play, that's a good chance for another Kings win. It's a good chance if he does play. Look out, because the guy's been on an absolute tear. People talk about MVP conversation. Yeah, conversation for sure. I think James Harden has it locked up, but he's been killing teams. 40 points every night. So we'll see. If he plays, cool. It'll be fun to watch. If not, Kings got a shot at the win. This has been Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. Thank you so much for listening. Peace.